Yes, of course,
Mike.
Yes. Your hair is lovely.
I know. Immaculate.
Okay, councillors, we are now live on YouTube.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to open the meeting, as technically we don't have any chair or vice chair at present. So welcome to the virtual lecture with committee that's being conducted with members and officers at various locations, communicating via audio and video online. Before the meeting starts, I'd like to explain how proceedings will work and confirm that members are not, and officers are in attendance. So I'm just going to do a quick roll call. Councillor Allen.
I'm here.
Has someone got the YouTube video on? They need to turn that off, I think, because it's feeding back. Councillor Aspinwall has given an apologies. Councillor Derbyshire.
Present.
Councillor Grindle.
Present.
Councillor Hone.
Present.
Councillor Levitt.
Present.
Councillor Mantle. Councillor Mantle, you're muted.
I'm muted. Somehow it's got muted again.
Right. Councillor Prendergast.
Present.
Councillor Ngwala.
Present.
Councillor Oliver.
Here.
Councillor Rice.
Present.
Councillor Ruggiero Chaka.
Present.
And Lee Ellis. You're muted, Lee.
Hi.
Hello, and I'm Hilary Deneen. So thank you. And we have Mark Robinson from IT supporting us with this meeting. So the meeting's being live streamed on the council's YouTube channel. If live streaming fails, the meeting will adjourn. If the live stream cannot be restored within a reasonable period, then the remaining business will be considered at a time and date to be fixed by the chair. If the chair doesn't fix a date, then the remaining business will be conducted at the next ordinary meeting. If for any reason the meeting is not quorate, an officer will notify attendees by interjecting the meeting. The meeting will adjourn immediately. Once the meeting is quorate, the meeting will resume. If connection cannot be restored within a reasonable period, then the remaining business will be considered at a date and time fixed by the chair, or if the chair doesn't fix a date, at the next ordinary meeting. Only members present for the entire debate and consideration of an item are entitled to vote. If technology fails for a member during the debate and they rejoin the meeting, they will not be able to vote on that item. If a member drops out of the meeting and is unable to connect, an email has been sent to each of you with telephone options. Please note this is only to be used where a member is unable to join the meeting or has dropped out and is unable to reconnect. Please ensure that electronic devices are muted, and please activate the mute button on your tablet or computer when you're not speaking. If a member wishes to speak, they should use the raise hand button that's located under participants, and this will alert the host that you wish to speak. The host will inform the chair of the names of the speakers, or if Mark makes the chair when he's appointed the a co-host, he can do it for himself. Members should wait to be invited by the chair to address the committee. Please do not use the reactions hand symbol. If the committee decides to take a vote, this will be via the green tick, red cross, blue raised hand symbols. The blue raised hand is for abstain. These are located under participants at the bottom of your screen. Please don't clear your votes until I confirm that I have actually counted the votes. Thank you. Details of how members have voted will not be kept or minuted unless a recorded vote has been requested or an individual request that their vote is recorded, and it will not be heard or seen on the audio or on YouTube recordings. I will clearly state the result of any vote, and the chair will then proceed to the next agenda item. In the event of a tied vote, the chair will have the casting vote. Are there any questions before we start? Okay, thank you. So the first order of business is to elect a chair of the Letchworth Committee for 2020-21. So can I ask for nominations, please, for the chair?
Good evening, everybody. Councillor Sue Ngwala. I'd like to nominate Gary Grindle as chair, please. Councillor Gary Grindle.
Okay, can I have a seconder for that, please?
I'll second Councillor Gary Grindle.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other nominations? No, in that case, Councillor Grindle, you are chair of the Letchworth Committee for the 2021 civic year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, fellow councillors, and I very much appreciate your support for the next civic year. Just to echo the good evening to everyone, thank you for attending during these, there's so many different adjectives being used to describe the current situation, but I think everyone sort of recognises during these difficult times, and it's good to see that everyone's been keeping well and safe, and I certainly hope you and your families have. Please bear with us as we go through this meeting. I know it's not easy for everyone to adapt to the online meeting structure, but we'll go slowly and steadily to make sure everyone who wants to speak and wants to be heard can be. So bear with us. If we miss anything, we'll certainly go back and make sure we do get you involved if we miss you at any time. So bear with us. I'm sure it'll run smoothly on this evening. It's not particularly busy agenda, but without further ado, before the meeting starts, again, I've been asked just to explain how proceedings will work and to confirm the members and officers are in attendance.
Really? Sorry, you don't need to do that. We've already done that.
Need to do the live streaming bit. Apologies. So we can go straight into the formal agenda for the meeting, Hilary, yeah?
Yes, please. That's fine.
Okay, right.
I do apologise for putting that on the
notes. Yeah, sorry, I'm waffling away there. And of course, I've realised the first thing I want to do is ask for a nomination for a vice chair for the next civic year. And if I may be so bold, I'd like to nominate Councillor Helen Oliver, if there is a seconder, please.
I'm happy to second.
Seconder Ian Mantle. Thank you, Councillor Mantle. Any other nominations, please?
No, there's no other nominations, no other hands.
Welcome back on board, Councillor Oliver, as Vice Chairman for another year. Thank you.
Chair, can you just nip back to item two, which is apologies for absence?
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to do those now. I've just seen that. I'm trying to get my eyes between the two different screens here. So I really miss the paper copy about now. But apologies for absence. Hilary, you already mentioned.
Councillor Aspinwall has offered her apologies for this evening. I believe everybody else is here.
Okay, I don't think there's anyone else, is there?
No.
No, okay. So that's apologies. Item three was election of the vice chair, which we've done. Notification of any other business. Just a note there, members should notify the chair of any other business which they wish to be discussed at the end of either part one or part two business set out in the agenda. They must state the circumstances which they consider justify the business being considered as a matter of urgency. The chair will then decide whether the items raised will be considered. Okay, if we move on to item five, which is the chairman's announcements. I think I sort of mentioned at the start that thank you everyone for your nomination and support for another year. I'd also like to mention at this stage that I'd like to put on record, should I say, the thanks of the committee to what was Councillor Deepak Sanger, who's now just Deepak Sanger, because he resigned as a councillor probably just before the lockdown commenced, I think back in March, February, March time. So he's no longer with us. So in fact, we are just one down on the moment in terms of the committee size. In addition, I'd also like to put on record the thanks to Amelia, who was the committee officer who looked after the Letchworth Area Committee. And again, I think it was not long after the lockdown commenced that Amelia left the council. And so I'd just like to put on record our thanks to Amelia for all her help and support to the committee prior to moving on, and wish her all the best in for the future. Also, members are reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out in the agenda should be declared as either a disclosable pecuniary interest or declarable interest, and are required to notify the chair of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item, which means I suspect you have to turn your camera and microphone off, but and move yourself out of your room maybe. Members declaring declarable interest wishing to exercise a councillor speaking right must declare this at the same time as the interest move to the public area before speaking on the item, and then must leave the room before the debate and vote. Of course, we will have to adapt that accordingly because we wouldn't expect you to leave, but I'm sure there's another way that we can deal with that. I'd also like to welcome, and I apologise because we've got two public speakers, I think, Hilary, this evening.
Yes, you have Alistair Stewart and Ray Wilson joining us.
Okay. And so Ray will be talking on
Green Care Norton.
Green Care Norton, and Alistair's going to give us an update or a briefing on the work of the Heritage Foundation in supporting the town during the pandemic. We've also got item six, to receive a verbal presentation from the Letchworth City Bid Manager.
Chris Wilson couldn't be here tonight, but he has sent me a little something to say along with a document that I'll explain.
Okay, so when we come to item six in a moment, Lee, you're going to fill in for us, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, so welcome, Chris, and welcome, Alistair, to the meeting in these unusual circumstances. Hopefully everything will run smoothly, but bear with us if it doesn't, but I'm sure we'll get through it. So I think we'll move on to item six then, Lee, which is the Letchworth Garden City Bid Manager report.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chris apologised for not being here in person, but as you can imagine, he's been rather busy. And he says, in the last few weeks, businesses have been preparing their premises in anticipation of reopening. Special measures will include laying out social distancing signage, ordering PPE and service cleans to ensure the safety of staff and customers. Letchworth businesses has welcomed the latest lockdown relaxations from the government and said that the town has demonstrated unprecedented support, resilience and collaboration during lockdown. As more of our businesses prepare to reopen, the bid has made available an amazing range of services and merchandise that will enable a safe reopening for staff and consumers. He says, we will continue to support all businesses to adapt and respond accordingly to government advice and guidelines. and he looks forward to the day that all businesses are able to reopen. Signage, certificates of compliance and safety measures will all be clearly displayed across all businesses. And what he sent to me as well, which I think Hilary has shared with you earlier, was a document by lovelectureearth.com, COVID-19 recovery plan, which outlines the vision to support Letchworth businesses post-lockdown. And it says presented 15th of June. So I guess it was presented on the 15th of June. Have councillors been able to have a look at this?
Just so you're aware, I just put it on mod.gov this afternoon, so you may not have had time to actually study it.
I've had a quick, it's quite a lengthy colour brochure, is the best way of describing it. I had a quick scan through it. I haven't had a chance to read it in detail, but it very much echoes what the current government advice is and the steps that any business wishing to open currently, the steps that they need to take to ensure they satisfy those government requirements. But I did see it come through on mod.gov. I was actually going to ask where I had seen it. I couldn't remember whether it was email or social media or what, but I knew I'd seen it. And but yeah, I certainly recommend everyone have a take a quick look through that.
Yeah, and just finally, Chris says that, very casually at the end, he said, I've also since been promoted to managing director of the bid. So well done, Chris.
Well, thank you. Congratulations to Chris, and thank you, Lee, for filling in. Clearly, we can't take any questions, but I don't know if anyone's got any particular comments regarding the time. I haven't really stepped out anywhere to see what a town centre looks like since March, but I don't know if anyone's got any particular comments around or any observations about the Letchworth Town Centre over the last couple of days.
Councillor Levitt has asked to speak.
Evening, Gary. Evening, everybody. I think a few of you know I've actually got two businesses in the town centre now.
Yeah.
One's a service industry, and I've now got a retail shop in the Garden Square Shopping Centre. So the last few days have been rather, how shall we say it, fraught and hard work for everybody in the town to get ready. There's roughly about a third to a half of the Garden Square businesses have reopened already. They've been very good. They've put a good one-way system in. They've had to close the entrance that runs right alongside the old Argos because of getting control on it. They have staff on each of the entrances with hand sanitizers and cleaning stuff and everything like that, and advising people about the rules and that. So they've done really very well. Chris has got floor markers throughout the towns, reminding people to keep 2 metres apart. There are hand sanitizers spread throughout the town, and amazingly, they've been out a couple of weeks now, nobody's nicked any yet. So they've done quite well. But the businesses around me and around the town have been finding it rather hard to actually make your premises safe, find out how the numbers you can get on it in your premises, because the shopping centre is actually limited the total number they can have in there. So they have to work out how many people on each premises is allowed, how many people can wait outside, take that away from the total number of people allowed in at any one time, which is why they've got staff on each one with counters checking people in and out. So it's quite different to the way we used to work. Monday morning was a little bit scary at sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock. There was so many people floating around. It was pretty damn scary. I didn't open until 11, deliberately because of that. But by 11 o'clock, it actually settled down. The last couple of days have been reasonably quiet. People are a little bit wary about going into premises when other people are already in there, despite limiting the numbers. But people are coming in, they are spending a bit of money, not huge amounts, but it's slowly, I can't say getting back to normal, because it's not. It's the new the new way of shopping and a new way of socialising the town centre is starting. What is quite telling is I did the overview and scrutiny meeting from my office in the town centre last night. I came out about 10:45 and Letchworth on an evening, that sort of time, the restaurants are there, the pubs are there, there's people about. It was absolutely silent and dark. It was weird walking through the town centre last night, really weird. But as I said, businesses have worked hard to get it back in. A lot of us have benefited from the government grants, which has helped keep some of us going. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now, because that money's been really, really valuable. At the moment, there's a lot of people applying for the discretionary grant to the council, which I think closes closes Thursday or Friday. So we'll see where that goes on there. But there's some businesses haven't reopened so far, and there are some businesses that will not reopen. We already know of at least three that have called it a day.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Levitt, for that. It's strange times, but very best wishes to all the businesses that are opening, that's for sure. Has anyone else got any particular comment from the town centre?
Just to say it's this Friday, the closing date for those grants, yeah.
Oh, is this right? Okay. All right, well, if there's no further comments on that, thank you very much, Lee, for that. Thank you for your contribution, Councillor Levitt, as well on that. I'll have to venture out at some point and have a look around. I think so. Okay, if we move on to agenda item 7, public participation. I think we're going to go with the Green Care Norton first, if that's okay with Alistair. And welcome Chris to the meeting.
Ray.
Sorry?
Ray.
Hey, sorry, Ray. Apologies, Ray. If I can welcome Ray Wilson to the meeting. I don't think I was at the previous area committee where this first was raised, but hopefully those of you that were have taken the opportunity to also read the note that's on ModGov as well regarding this. But Ray, if we hand over to you, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me back again. So not everyone was there, but in the previous round of grant applications, I discussed with elected members the possibility of making the Green Care project, the Green Care plot, much more accessible to participants with mobility issues. And members asked me to research the possibilities and come back in this round with a further proposal. Due to the COVID-19 lockdown, it's been quite difficult and frustrating researching and costing such a proposal. Often firms were either not working or not prepared to do site visits, which is understandable. However, in respect of making accessible pathways and the patio style seating area, I looked at a number of different options, four in all: wooden decking, artificial grass, self-binding gravel, and slab paving. The more I got into this, I realised the first three options all had the drawbacks, mainly ongoing maintenance, safety, cost, and long-term durability. The best and safest option is what I would call council standard paving, 900 mil wide, laid on a deep aggregate foundation. Having consulted an experienced groundworks company, I've managed to make this more affordable by sourcing a large quantity of reclaimed paving, which they would lay supplemented by brand new paving if necessary. I haven't got a quote from this company as yet. I asked for a rough ballpark figure of what this would cost, and they estimated in the region of 4,000. He did say no more, but I haven't got anything writing as yet, but he did promise me that was an accurate sort of figure. The other aspect of the bid is to make the actual gardening accessible through the provision of wooden raised beds, which can be accessed from the paved pathways. This is a lot more straightforward in that suitable accessible rustic raised beds can be purchased, for example, through people like Screwfix. They're about £90 each and we could construct them. Also, timber, preferably reclaimed, can be purchased at a low cost to construct raised beds in the new polytunnel. An estimated cost of beds and timber in the region of £500. Unfortunately, it's not feasible to make the plot completely wheelchair friendly, but what we can do is make it much more accessible for those with physical disabilities, irrespective of the weather and the ground conditions, and offer an opportunity not only to participate in gardening, but to simply enjoy the beauty of the location, you know, the plants and the wildlife. And that's my presentation. Thank you very much for listening.
Right, thank you very much for that. For those that may not have been present previously when you first spoke, can you just explain the area where this is proposed?
Yeah, it's the it's based at the allotment site at Norton.
Right.
The project itself is spread over two full-size plots on that site.
Okay, sorry, I understand now. Thank you. Right, any questions for Ray? Nothing, Hilary? Hilary, you're on mute.
Sorry, there's no hands up, Chair.
Okay, well, Ray, thank you very much for that. And
thank you.
As I understand it, a sum of money was previously agreed or approved,
yeah,
subject to you coming back, and now we need to consider yeah, the whole element, if you like, the whole cost of this, which we will do in item 8, and you're welcome to sit through and enjoy the rest of the meeting until we come up to that. You're welcome to leave and have your dinner or your tea or watch a bit of football for the first time in a long time. And and Lee will certainly be in touch with you after the meeting. So, but you're more than welcome to stay around, and we won't be for too long before we get around to discussing the actual grants themselves.
Well, thank you very much. I will leave the meeting.
Okay.
My team is playing at the moment.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Sheffield United, we're already being robbed, but want to say a big thank you for the support you've given us so far. It is, you know, it really is making a difference to people, and some of the most difficult to reach people in the area. And one of my problems now I'm trying to restart it, those people who it took a long time to get involved, of course, have retreated back, and I'm now having to work hard again to, you know, to get them to leave the houses and to take the step back into it. So your support has been really, really, not just in financial terms, but in all sorts of other ways. So thank you from me.
Right, thank you very much. And just a couple of points for me. I mean, one, I'm rooting for Sheffield United as well as a West Ham United fan. But we don't want to be relegated. And secondly, I think it's such a well worth scheme as well. And as you say, the need to get people out of their homes and to go and visit something, especially those with special needs, it's a wonderful scheme. But we'll certainly, Lee will be in touch with you after the meeting anyway to let you know what the outcome was.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Right, okay. If we then move on to Letchworth Garden City Heritage Foundation and welcome Alistair Stewart to the meeting. Good evening, Alistair. And you're going to give us a bit of a flavour of some of the stuff that the Heritage Foundation have been doing across the town in supporting the town during the pandemic. So, again, the floor is yours.
Okay, thanks.
Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt.
But I need to declare an interest as being a board member of the Heritage Foundation, no doubt. Helen's going to come in and say something.
All right, one at a time, declaring. Go on then. So we've got Terry.
Yeah, I know there's no vote on this item, so there's no conflict, but just for the avoidance of doubt, declaring that I'm a trustee on the foundation.
Okay, you got both of those, Hilary?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry for the interruption there, Alistair. The floor's now yours.
No, I'd forgotten about that.
You don't need to declare an interest, we know where you're from.
Yeah, I've made a few notes. So basically back in, I think it was mid-March, we made the decision to look at supporting the areas really of food, prescriptions and advice and signposting. And it was really led through the culture, heritage and communities team. And we started by setting up the emergency response team and working with the CBS and Hearts Help. We started to set up the telephone service, and the CBS and Hearts Help were really great at helping to train our staff and also advising on all the protocols, the policies and the procedures. So we couldn't have done it without those guys. They were absolutely brilliant. And then we integrated into that the prescriptions and food delivery service, basically aimed at people, sort of mainly the older residents who were isolated, living alone, self-isolating. Since everything started and up till the end of May, we'd taken around 935 phone and email inquiries. And during May, we took 281. We did 194 shopping deliveries in May and 64 prescriptions. And we also delivered 40 food parcels and 130 food boxes that NHDC have been coordinating across the district and taking those to Salvation Army and other food providers in the town. And through various schemes, we recruited a number of volunteers, and over the course of the programme since it started, I think there's been 1,725 volunteer hours committed to the project, which is pretty amazing, really. And alongside this, we also were working with the different food providers to support them to understand sort of different needs in different places, but also it kind of helps to understand the town a lot if we can gather that information. I'll talk a little bit about that later on. Alongside that service, we also worked with Hills and Settle in Active Letchworth, and we produced a health and wellbeing booklet. And using clients from Settle, First Garden City Housing, and our treatment centre and fleet service, we distributed 600 of those booklets across the town. And they were basically sort of about exercise, diet, different places you could call if you needed some help or support, and a little bit about anti sort of scamming and things like that. So it was a kind of all round sort of self-help booklet with doctor surgeries, NHS numbers, pharmacies, etc. So we did that, but again, that was a total kind of partnership type thing. And we started, as I say, we started to gather the food stats, and I think they peaked at around 223 deliveries, sort of families coming through collecting food. I think that was about the sort of 20th of May. And last week, the week that ended about the 6th to 14th, across the food providers, there were 82 food parcels delivered to families in the town. Now, that might not, to put that into perspective, this time last year, the town was probably delivering 36 food parcels. So it's a double, it's 100%. It's a massive jump in real terms. And the food bank last year across May gave 64 parcels. Now in 2020, it gave 104. And that doesn't include the 29 or 30 from the Salvation Army and the 15 to 20 from King's Community. So there's been quite a rise in the number of people needing that food assistance. So it's been great to be able to play a part in that and support those groups. We also have worked closely with the Healthy Hub, when we've come across information that would be of use, we've sent it across and vice versa. So by using our comms and your comms, it's worked really well to try and get out to as many people as we can about the different initiatives and the different ways that people can be supported. We also introduced, similar to yourselves, we introduced a grant scheme. And so far we've awarded £33,000 across 11 grantees. Quite a combination, actually. A number of them around digital technology, around enabling clubs to reach out to their members, and also around the digital technology for people like Carers in Hearts to buy laptops and phones so that they can keep one-to-one contact with the carers in Letchworth. And we've also supported SADA. We gave a grant to SADA to enable them to have 12 additional hours of helpline support between May and the end of September, because we've seen from the data that's coming through about some of the challenges that the lockdown is producing. And we've given some support towards food provision. And we've been just really working across all the different organisations to help them where they can, having some quite interesting requests come through. But that's kind of, and we've also, through our comms team, we've also been working on sort of set pieces and set blogs. So we've done a piece around citizens advice, which again was around about what the service is, what it does, how it helps you. We've looked at the food bank, Best Before Cafe, and done a piece on Carers in Hearts, and also about volunteering and the role that plays. And this week we've just done a whole piece on free school meals and how to apply, where to go, etc. Which, because we were looking and we were very worried about the summer, but Marcus Rashford has saved the day for us, and that's an amazing thing, because it will make such a difference, especially in Letchworth, from the kind of information, the evidence that's coming through. So that's very much a whistle-stop tour of the last 12 weeks. Somehow it feels like a lot longer than 12 weeks, but that's kind of really where we've been over the last 12 weeks.
Alistair, thank you very much. There's an unbelievably staggering amount of data which just underlines the effort that the Letchworth Garden City Heritage Foundation have put into the town. It's quite amazing. I mean, are you happy to take some questions on the work?
Yes,
councillors?
Yeah, if I can answer, I'll try and answer them if I can.
Okay, thank you. Anyone got any questions?
Councillor Allen first.
Daniel, Councillor Allen?
Mute. Try that again.
On mute, Dan.
Hello, Alistair.
Hi, Dan.
Thank you for coming and visiting earlier this month to the little gazebo that we've been doing outside in Warren Close. As well as the people you've mentioned, I just think we should also acknowledge a couple of other people that have been helping very much in Letchworth. Could I acknowledge that Feed Up Warm Up have been taking hot meals and food parcels to people in Letchworth to help them? As well as that, the Need Project, who are based over in Stockfold, so in Bedfordshire, have been going out of their way to come over and help people in Letchworth as well. And also Morrison's have been delivering a whole pallet full of food every week to some of the charities within the town to help them out, including the Howard Social Centre, who've been working really, really hard and helping a number of people that are shielding at the moment. There's been a number of independent groups, Wilbury Community Cafe, there's been people on the Grange, there's been people Glebe Road and Campers Avenue who've all set up giving food themselves from individual gazebos to try and help their local community. They've also been out doing a lot of bits and pieces. So I just wanted to have those bits noted. And I do have a question for you as well, Alistair. I know later on we're going to be discussing the settlement and problems that have been had in Letchworth. Is the Heritage expected to have to close any of its Letchworth assets, or is going to find any problems with its Letchworth assets?
I don't think that's it. I'm being honest, Daniel. I haven't actually been party of any of those discussions. So I'm not really in a position to kind of to comment, to be fair.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Next you've got is Councillor Levitt.
Thank you, Chairman. I was actually going to ask a similar question to Dan's last one there about, it's very much appreciated the work the Heritage Foundation does and has been doing over this, but obviously it's going to have had a pretty big knock-on effect on the Heritage Foundation and its own finances and things itself. And my question was going to be similar to Dan's, is has it had a huge financial effect on you? It's obviously had an effect on your services. I don't think you're in a particular position to answer that at the moment, are you?
Can I suggest that we probably hold off on those sort of questions, because it's been a bit unfair on Alistair, who was invited to come along and talk about the relief effort, if you like, across the town. So, and as he's indicated, he's not been party to discussions within the Heritage Foundation around what the impact will be on them as an organisation. So, can we just have questions really that relate to the effort in the town and the work that's currently ongoing? And then I'm sure there'll be coming a time when we will get a chance to ask the Heritage Foundation some more difficult questions about maybe some of the difficult choices they're going to have to make.
The next person you have, Chair, is Councillor Sean Prendergast.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Alistair. I just wanted to say a big thank you for the support that you have provided. I know numerous residents who've used that helpline and they found it invaluable. Just one very quick question following up on that. Is the support line still available? Are you still providing that service as we stand?
Yes, it's open 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
The reason I ask is because initially it was really, really easy to find all the information, but it's a little bit more difficult now to find that information. That's all really.
In terms of the information being the actual line itself or the...
Yeah. So it's not... It was at the beginning, it was very, very clear, but on the Heritage website, I tried to find some of the overview and information for it, and I actually found it quite difficult. I'm not fantastic with technology, but I'm not that simple either. So.
No, that's a fair comment. I can feed that back and I can take that in. And I think sometimes you put something on your website, it's your front page, and then time moves on and you build on that page and another page, and like you say, navigating back isn't always that straightforward. So yes, yeah, I'll feed that back.
Great, thank you.
That's your last speaker, unless anyone else.
Alistair, thank you very much. And on behalf of the committee, can you please pass on our most sincere thanks to everyone at the Heritage Foundation for all their efforts over the last 3 months. I know it must have been an absolute nightmare to get up and running, but the work has been fantastic since then, and I know it's greatly appreciated. And I mean, at the moment, what if I may ask just one final question? Our talk's already starting about sort of the Heritage Foundation beginning to withdraw from some of the services they're offering, or are you looking to carry them on at the moment?
I think it's just a case of, as you say, you've got to look at what's coming in, what's going out, and then look at that, weigh that up, and then make a decision based on the information and the evidence that you have. So that's all I can really offer you at the moment.
No, that's fine. And I know, because there's so much uncertainty at the moment, and there's so many families still desperate for help, as well as businesses as well, as Councillor Levitt alluded to earlier. So, but again, please pass on our thanks to everyone.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Well,
Chair, before you go, can I just double check, Councillor Rice, did you want to say anything, or is that... You're muted, Councillor.
Mute, Mike.
I was going to ask a question, but the Chairman said not to.
What was it, a question about outside of the work they're currently doing at the moment and more about them as a business?
It was outside.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Okay, Well, thank you, Alistair. As I say, all the best wishes to you and everyone at the Heritage Foundation. And next time, maybe we can hopefully all meet around a table and have a discussion rather than online.
Thanks very much for inviting me, giving the opportunity to just share what's been going on with everyone.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Cheers. Thank you. Right. Thank you, everyone. So if we move on to the next agenda item, which is agenda item 8, grants and community update. Lee, over to you.
Oh, right. That's me again. Here we go. Well, I'm sure everyone has had lots of time to fully digest everything I've written. So unless anyone wants me to read through it, I won't. Suffice to say, we've just been extremely busy adapting to the new situation, working closely with lots of local agencies, and carrying on some of the work we were doing before. So still working on setting up or supporting YC Hearts in setting up a youth council with a view to getting our local young people very much involved in the decisions going forward. I think if that's okay with everyone, I'm not going to read it all through. I'm just happy to take any questions.
Chair, you have Councillor Allen asking.
Hi, Lee. Just a quick question. With the Letchworth Festival, they have very sensibly returned the grant that was given to them and was approved. May I just confirm that they'll be able to reapply next year, even though normally it's only every other year?
Absolutely, yeah, they can, yeah.
The rules have changed, haven't they?
It's not restricted to every other year now, anyway. So,
but fantastic. Brilliant rule. I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah, we changed the rules, Dan, so it's like anyone could apply each year.
Councillor Levitt, Chair.
Councillor Levitt.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it was either Dan or yourself mentioned the settlement earlier on. Are we going to discuss this in this part of the development or as a separate?
Yeah, I was going to raise it in any other business.
Yeah.
Councillor Levitt, if that's okay.
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah.
I knew it was on everyone's mind and Lee's done a little bit of digging already for us on that in advance of the meeting, although I don't think there's much information about, but we're certainly going to cover it in any other business.
Thank you.
Okay.
If I may, Chair. Just to say that actually Claire and Ruben and myself did meet with Alistair this morning and we have been in touch with the chair of the settlement board, so we think that there's certainly some things to explore, so we're gonna have a more thorough chat about it and see what we can do, because as we probably all in agreement, it'd be a terrible loss, but there are always cunning plans. So watch this space. And just to add as well, something that we out this committee needs to consider is having a town talk. Thank you, I'm done.
Well, do you want to just introduce the budget for the budget part and the and the Norton.
The budget part. Yes.
The Norton project.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I was just coming to that.
Well done.
Green Care have requested
Single malt whiskey.
How much is it like? Mike, Councillor Rice, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear that, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll just have a sip of my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just ice, please.
You need a mule.
Okay. Green Care, for the installation of safe walkways and raised beds, they're asking for £2,500. The total cost is looking somewhere between, as you said, 4,000 and originally 5,600, but Ray's been working hard to keep the cost down and using recycled materials as much as possible. So with that, let's see. Well, we've got more than enough to cover that, shall we just say.
So the current grant they're looking at is £2,500.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to the £1,000 that's already been agreed at the previous meeting.
Well, at the previous meeting, they were given 2,052, which was what was requested. But in between being awarded that, Ray found a supplier that saved him £1,000. So it was felt that rather than asking him to return it to the committee and then apply for it again, it made sense to put that towards this next phase. So that £1,000 is still there to be used, but he's got it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So how much do we need to agree to give them this evening?
£2,500.
So is the additional amount?
Yes, please.
Okay. So can we please discuss this application? And as I say, apologies because I wasn't there at the first one, but you can quickly understand what a worthwhile scheme this is probably going to be for a whole section of the community. But open for discussion.
Councillor Allen, Chair, is indicating he wishes to speak.
Okay. Councillor Allen?
I think it's a brilliant project. It's really well done. The fact that they've gone and found a better supplier is fantastic. May I, though, suggest that we put a condition that they confirm the quote before money's paid out? Other than that, I'd like to suggest that we go ahead with it.
Is that a proposal, Dan? Yeah?
That is a proposal.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'll second that.
Second.
Sorry. Who seconded, Councilor? Sorry.
Brenda Grass.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Is there anyone else want to discuss this, or are we happy to take a vote on it?
You will need to take a vote. I'm just waiting to see if anybody else wants to speak. Okay. So if members, if you use the green tick in the participants or your red cross or your raise hand for abstaining, please.
So is everyone clear on the voting technique?
I think everyone's used it before, Chair.
Right.
That's voting with the...
So in participants at the bottom of your screen, if you click on participants, you'll get a screen to your right and you use either the red... the red cross for no, the green tick for yes, or you raise your hand for abstaining.
And we're voting now.
Yeah, and I have 11 votes for, so that's carried.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Lee, did you note Councillor Allen's point about the quotation?
That will be part of the resolution, the resolution.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Lee, was there anything else you wanted to raise in terms of the community report?
Not specifically.
Okay.
Just, yeah, no.
I'm not going to force you to say anything. You didn't have to. But you had...
I've always got lots more things to say, but I won't. It's been a long day.
No, I appreciate that. And Lee, look, again, can we please put on record our sincere thanks to all the community team, Lee and everyone else, because they've done an absolute, again, a staggeringly fantastic job throughout the last 3 months. In you can imagine the work that's been going on behind the scenes. And I understand, Lee, you've even been doing stuff in your own time as well to support the community. And we very much appreciate all you've done and your colleagues. So if we can place on record our thanks to all the community teams for all their work during this pandemic. Thank you very much, Lee.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come again. Right, so if I've lost my place on the agenda now, so do bear with me as I'm scrolling back through the others.
You've got one item outstanding, Chair, which is ward and outside organisations, and you were going to mention, I don't know if you wanted to mention anything else about Letworth Settlement.
Yeah, well, I was going to raise in this part a couple of things that I wanted to raise, and certainly, of course, invite comments from other councillors who might want to raise anything. The settlement, we're all aware of the recent announcement on the settlement that seems to have come out of the blue, really, unless someone else had some inside intelligence. It seems to have been rather, comes a bit of a shock to everyone. As I mentioned, Lee, you wrote to, I don't know what the lady's role is in the organisation, but you did get a response from her today, which I've seen, which doesn't really say too much more than other than they're doing stuff. And I've seen bits on social media that people are sharing messages around hoping that there will still be classes run from the settlement come September. So if anyone's got any questions, and I'm Lee, I'm sure we'll, and the community team, will certainly try and get as many answers as they can. So please, I'll open it up for anyone who's got any particular comments or questions that we might want to ask, or have any news that might help.
I've got Councillor Levitt, Chair.
Councillor Levitt.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not sure if everybody be aware of this, because it's only gone on very recently, gone 4 o'clock today, and a bit on the Comet website with a statement from Pam Byrne, who is the chairman of the settlement. I think the quickest way is read out a statement, actually. As you well know, the world has been a very uncertain place over recent months, and whilst I write, there are some glimmers of light, sadly they are not enough for the settlement, as it stands, to survive beyond this summer. You will be aware that we received no grants of any kind from anywhere. A group of trustees did form a working party to look into options for remaining open, but concluded that, despite all our efforts and prudent operations, the financial risks were too high. With social distancing, it would be very difficult to run small classes that did not cost a great deal more than people have been used to. And of course, there is no guarantee that students and visitors would wish to return. It is ironic the organisation's facing closure in its same year as its centenary. I never, in my most savage nightmares, expected to write for you to tell this news. Thank you for all coming along, and gentlemen, and hope that in time the settlement will rise again, if substantial funding can be raised.
Okay, thank you.
But the announcement they actually made yesterday to the trustees, and that was the settlement would close permanently from the 31st of July, and all the staff would be made redundant from that date.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, just how were they funded in the main? They said they've not received any grants over the last 3 months. So what was their income?
It was from events they ran, courses they ran, income from courses, because all the courses were charged, and they were very, very busy courses, all of those. So most of their money came from that. They rented the hall out and the theatre bit out as well, so there was income from that. And of course, the way it's been at the moment, that's just all gone.
Okay.
Hey,
Hillary,
have
you got
I have Councillor Ngwala would like to speak.
Go ahead, Sue.
Yes, I just wondered, sorry, I was just distracted then, whether there is anything the council, communities, can do to support settlement. So is there any way we can support them financially over the summer period until they're more able to get up and running? In September, perhaps.
I think, and Pam, the person that Councillor Levitt mentioned, was the one that Lee's been in contact with. And Lee, is the intention to have further dialogue about how us or any other organisations may be able to help support them? Is that something that's
Most definitely. As you say, it was completely out of the blue, and but it, from Pam's email where she just sent the statement, it seems like it's been going on for a while, and to the best of our knowledge in the community engagement team, they've never approached us for any sort of funding. And of course there were a lot of extra pots put out for because of the results of what's been going on. So we will absolutely get on the case and see what we can do, but it's always been difficult to develop any sort of working relationship, I understand, with the settlement. I don't know why.
It struck me as a bit strange that they haven't received any grants, but we're not aware of them ever coming to ask for any either, which was a bit strange. But okay, so I think, Sue, to answer your question, I think I'd hope that all the councillors here would be very supportive of trying to help in any way we can, but at the moment we just don't know what that help is.
No, I understand, Gary. I just meant in principle, because obviously
we're
going to have conversations, and that's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you, Lee.
I can't believe any councillors around here wouldn't want to sort of help the council not to be helping a settlement.
This is a new councillor. I didn't know in what capacity we could help and whether they fitted into our criteria for grants, but I'm pleased that we're looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I may, Chairman, they have been, up till now, they've been a very, very self-sufficient organisation. Very, very self-sufficient organisation is hence the reason of not had to ask for grants. They've preferred to let the money be available for other organisations. I understand it is a substantial amount of money that they require to continue. I believe it's well into three figures is their annual running cost. Six figures.
I'm going to say £100
Six figures. Well into six figures that the annual running costs run to. The other thing to bear in mind, of course, is that a number of other organisations, community organisations in Letchworth, use the settlement as their base. The Letchworth Arts and Leisure Group, for example, has most of its base there, as do several other groups. So the loss of the settlement isn't just about its educational side, which has been running since 1920, I think, something like that. But it's also about the home for other organisations as well.
Thank you,
Councillor. I have Councillor Allen asking to speak.
Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry, you've probably got my voice by now. Can I ask that as well as offering financial help, we could possibly look at offering some business advice, getting an advisor in, looking at some of the people that have worked within the council that have got small business knowledge, speaking to the bid as well, because it strikes me that the first thing they should have considered doing during this would be to go to online lessons. I'm sure there are reasons they didn't. I know from what I've been finding out since this announcement that there were talks between certain people that there were problems financially. And it's just such a shame that because they're not connected to the council and haven't spoken to us, and they're not connected to the Heritage Foundation and haven't spoken to them, we can't do as much as we could. So can I suggest that we look at ways to help supplying business information and business advisors as well as cash?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the general view is we'll give them all the support that we can, but we just need to enter. Then we need them to enter into some sort of dialogue with officers, and I guess that at the moment is the difficult part because they still seem to. You know, it seems very much arm's length at the moment if you read the correspondence, and it's, you know, but hopefully Lee and we'll have some luck in trying to engage with them and getting them to come and sit down and then see what help can be given. And you know, I guess the scary thing for all of us as councillors, not just in Letchworth but throughout the towns, the scary thing is just how widespread will this be? The settlement might be the first one, but you really have to fear for what other organisations out there, when they've had an opportunity to take stock, are going to come and notify us that they've got problems. So we've got a budget of £13,000 as an area committee to last us and through to the year. So we're going to have some really hard, difficult choices what we can do directly as a committee. But as a wider council, I'd like to hope there's a lot of good advice out there and maybe other things that we can do. But is there any other councillors got?
You did have Councillor Oliver. Did you still want to speak, Councillor?
I put my hand back down because I'd had an informal conversation today, but and that the person I spoke to was seeking to reassure me that the organisations, the external organisations that are using their building, are being kept in the loop and informed, and they are looking at ways to facilitate them either being accommodated elsewhere or better still, continuing to be able to use that building. But I can't say more than that because they haven't got back to me to confirm it in writing yet. It was just a conversation. But I do know that they haven't just gone ahead without talking to those other groups that use the building.
Right, okay, thank you.
Councillor Rice, you've also got...
Oh, sorry, Mike, go on.
Yeah, question. Is it in the bid area or is it just outside the bid area? Perhaps David Levitt and I.
It is outside the bid area, but they did ask at one point about becoming a subscribing bid member, but they are outside the bid area as such.
Because it would strike me that the conversation between its future ought to take place to start with between the bid and the organisation.
Yeah, I think Helen might know a little bit about this from what she's been talking, but some of the because of the buildings, the ownership of them is a little bit odd, shall we say. As I understand it, the theatre and the hall extension are leased from the Heritage Foundation on a long lease, but the original Skittles Inn, the actual settlement itself, I believe is in trust to the settlement organisation. I know it's very, very complicated about who owns what and how the leases and everything works. So I think there needs to be a little bit more understanding about what bits of the building would and wouldn't be available and who's owning and who takes up ownership. And I think that's one of the early things to establish is ensuring that those particular buildings, and particularly the old Skittles Inn, which is listed building, doesn't end up getting mothballed and falling very quickly into disrepair.
Yeah.
It's obviously no advantage to the Heritage Foundation if it's leased from them, because they'll have no income if it collapses. So perhaps the Heritage Foundation would like to get involved with the bid.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know how we facilitate that, Chair.
I think we'll facilitate it through the community team, Mike, and I'm sure Lee's taken notes, and let's see what Lee can come back with. But we need to have serious dialogue with them, and getting them to come and sit down is, it looks like, being the hard bit at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's complicated structure around it as well.
Do you think the community's team are the people to do that?
Well, if it wasn't a community team, who would it be?
Well, I'm saying the bid.
Well, I would have thought the community team and the bid and all the other interested parties would be talking to them.
Fine, but I don't think the answer is for our community's team to talk to them, because all the work they do, the one thing that they can't do is make the sort of decisions that are going to need to be made.
No.
For the future of that.
No, I guess that. It's about what help the council can give, as all the other organisations hopefully are going to help.
Chair, just to interject, I think Mr. Councillor Holmes trying to...
Oh, sorry. Go on. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I think today the Chairman of the settlement actually let the message out.
Sorry.
Are we all
someone's
muted?
Got somebody's a television on or something.
Sorry, go on, Terry.
Yeah, it sent a message out to members, tutors and associated groups today, which goes into some detail, which, because it's to members, tutors and associated groups, I'm not obliged, unfortunately, to release it to councillors, but perhaps we can ask that question if we can. It certainly implies in there that they have not closed all the doors, metaphorically speaking. They're still keeping their options open. And rest assured that the management team that's been in place there are well-known residents of Letchworth, who no doubt have significant experience in many, many ways and many, many fields. I don't think we should assume that just because it's something like Settlement, which is a charitable organisation, therefore all the management board are of a kind that can't perhaps manage a situation like this. But of course, the chairman is Pam Burns, and Pam Burns is also chairman of Letchworth Garden City Heritage Foundation. So any comments around liaison between the Heritage Foundation and the Settlement, rest assured they have been had. Yes. With Pam declaring an interest, and therefore the deputy chairman has got involved in the conversation in her place with officers of the Heritage Foundation. So the communications are going on there, as you can imagine, and no doubts when, if we can get involved as well, which we should be, and the bid get involved, we might be able to come up with suggestions around perhaps lottery funding or I don't know, any other things as well. So she has come out with an edict, which I will ask her if I can circulate to council members, to Letchworth council members, but I'll need her green light to do that.
Okay, thank you for that helpful comment.
Councillor Mantle next, Chair.
This to me raises the point as to how we've managed to get in a situation that something so important to Letchworth as the Heritage Fund, as the Settlement, we have had no information, no links, no communication. Perhaps once this particular issue is sorted one way or another, we should look again at how we can establish proper communication and information exchanges, not just with the Settlement, but with other voluntary organisations which play an important role within Letchworth, where we don't actually have representation on the committee, for example. I know at least one other, which is Mrs. Howard Hall.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, Councillor Mantle.
Councillor Oliver, Chair.
I was going to say, I was looking pained for a couple of minutes because I was trying to find the right form of words to say what Councillor Hone then found exactly the right form of words to say, because I'd seen the same correspondence. And just to add that I have actually left a voicemail message and I'm expecting someone to get back to me to confirm what parts of that correspondence I can share, because although the area committee is now tonight, there's nothing to stop that being shared among the councillors once it's been made available.
Okay, thank you for that. Yes,
Councillor, so Chairman, yes, I have just asked the Chairman of the Settlement if I can pass it on to Letchworth councillors. So we'll no doubt Helen and I get a similar response, I hope so.
Okay, but I think, is there anyone else, Hilary, or can we just quickly?
No, there's no one else.
Okay, I think in summary I think Terry summarised it adequately there. We need the community team to get involved. We need the Letchworth bid to get involved. We need the Heritage Foundation to be involved. And it looks like that is going to happen. And everyone will want to talk to the Settlement. So fingers crossed that we get some positive news on that. And Lee, if you could keep us progressed on how you get on in any discussions you have, and any advice that you're asked for would be much appreciated. Okay. As again, could I open up? I've got one other item. I'll mention it now to get my two items out of the way, because again, I suspect you're probably all aware that there's now petition ain't the right word, but there's a groundswell of opinion that we should reinstate a bandstand in the common. Now, I don't know if you're all aware of that, but I've certainly been written to by someone who lives in London, bizarrely, who's a key player in the move, hasn't exactly asked me anything other than would we be willing to support a new bandstand in the common. I've just put a hold, well, one, I wasn't chairman when he wrote to me, so I just put back a holding message saying, look, I'm aware that there's a number of people saying, oh, wouldn't it be a good idea to have a bandstand in the common? And I will certainly raise it at the area committee and we'll see where we go from that. So I don't know if anyone's got a particular view on it or everyone's been contacted about it, if anyone's passionate that it's something we do or we leave it for the time being, because there's far more important things that we need to be probably focusing on than a bandstand at the moment.
Councillor Mantle, Chair.
Councillor Ian Mantle.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm probably old enough to remember why it was removed in the first place. And it was removed because it was costing the council an arm and a leg every year to maintain it, and it was never used.
Yeah, I know.
If we're going to put another one back, can somebody please make sure that there are concerts there, that it's used, that there's a band which wants to use it, that people want to go there? I can remember many pleasant debates about how much we were spending. It was thousands in 30 years ago. So it was a significant amount of money each year, just simply to keep the thing safe and make sure that all the broken stones and the vandalism, everything were dealt with. So I don't think it wasn't removed. Incidentally, it had to get the Secretary of State's permission to be removed, but so it wasn't just the council. We obviously persuaded the then government. Frankly, it's a very, very expensive luxury, and I personally think find a lot better things to do with our money.
Councillor Hone.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Yes, I've been approached as well, as you can imagine, as a county councillor for locality budgets on it, yeah. As has Councillor Bloxham, I might add, another, the county councillor, who is, of course, representative of that particular part of Letchworth. He is not supportive of it, and I have... Sorry, I can hear noises. I have reservations myself as well for the very reasons that Councillor Mantle said. I can't quite remember the details, but certainly going back a few years, there was all sorts of angst about it. So limited support there would be from the County Council to do this, I might add.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor. Anyone else, Hilary?
You've got Councillor Allen.
Councillor Allen, Daniel Allen. You're on mute, Dan.
Councillor Allen, I think he's frozen actually. Do you want to go to Councillor Levitt and come back to, not him himself, I think his screen's frozen. Yeah. Do you want to go to Councillor Levitt and we'll come back to Daniel in a moment?
David.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I was approached on this matter day before yesterday. I pointed them in the direction of the relevant ward councillors and county councillors and the community development officer. If you got a phone call from the last couple of days of those people, it may have been down to me. Apologies.
Is Councillor Allen back?
He's actually disappeared by the look of it. So he may. Do you want to wait a couple of seconds to see if he can rejoin?
Well,
it looks like he's dropped out.
Okay. Well, no, this time's moving on. So if okay. We can.
Sorry, you've got Councillor Rice with his hand up now.
Mike.
Yeah, I totally agree with Ian Mantle. Absolute waste of money if we do anything there. The cost of upkeep will be enormous. And unless you can build something that is completely vandal free, then I think we're wasting an awful lot of money. And it would be lovely, yes, every Sunday. I can remember it as a kid, as I'm sure Ian can. When the band was there and all the deck chairs would be round. I think we've moved on from there.
Yeah. I don't think there was any intention that we've got money to spend on building a bandstand, so we certainly couldn't give any financial support for a start. But
I don't think we could get involved with maintaining it either.
No, exactly right. And, considering that, as a committee, I'd like to think that the focus of any entertainment is really in Broadway Gardens now. Putting a bandstand in the common wouldn't really be appropriate, I wouldn't have thought. But, okay, is Daniel Allen back online, Hilary, or can I open it up to...
Hang on, he's waiting to get back in, just one second.
All right.
We'll see if we can admit him back in. Daniel, Councillor Allen, are you back in with us?
I am back with you, I apologise.
The chair is aware that you wanted to speak.
Dan, sorry, go on. Did you have a question about the bandstand?
Well, it's just a statement. I don't know if anyone's covered it while I've been off, but the original bandstand was there before the place was deemed a nature reserve. So now it's a nature reserve, even if it's a local one, I'm not sure if you'd be able to have a bandstand within it.
That sounds like a good reason not to have one to me. So thank you for that, Councillor Allen. Right, can I open up now for any other ward reports from any members or topics to be raised?
You have Councillor Levitt, Chair.
Councillor Levitt, I've got Terry Holmes' hand waving as well. I don't know if he's... but Councillor Levitt?
Thank you, Chair. Somebody alluded earlier in this item about other organisations apart from the settlement are looking at difficulties after this thing in keeping their services going. I'm trustee on one or two and member of a couple of them as others as well, and three of those organisations are, shall we say, struggling to be able to continue as they are at the moment. They will be contacting community services and whoever they can look at funding for in due course, but they're
can you name them, Dave?
I'd rather not at the moment.
Okay.
Not, because they supply services to other people. I'd rather not create start rumours.
Can we just be clear? I mean, as I mentioned, there's going to be a whole number of, you know, I feared how many organisations might be impacted. So I'd rather no one banned anything around in a public meeting for any organisation where we haven't got any facts or have been approached, should I say, directly to mention them.
Yeah. So I think it's fairly obvious, though, Chair, that several organisations are going to really suffer. I think the biggest one that some of them are struggling with is that volunteers haven't been volunteering for several months now. Actually keeping those volunteers engaged is always a difficult thing for any organisation. After 3 months absence, it's even more difficult. And I know in some cases, some of them being elderly and aren't that keen on going back into an environment they're not sure about. And I think it's not just the financial pressure and the financial aspects that are causing problems. It's that sort of aspect as well. And I think we need to be aware of that.
Thank you for that, Councillor Levitt. Hilary, who's next?
Councillor Allen.
Councillor Allen.
Sorry, I just wanted to say about the Wilbury ward. Gary, I don't know if you want to go first on that though.
Well, no, because I know you mentioned it earlier. So about what's been going on with Warren Close, but Dan, no, go on, because you and you've been the driving force behind a few of those. So please go ahead.
Well, Councillor Ngwala has been helping very much on Glebe Road as well. Basically, there's a load of us who've set up and we've been sort of nicknamed the Gorilla Groups, who have been getting all the food that's been donated by Best Before for when they don't need it or have extras, and have also been getting donations from others to give to people throughout the area. Now, Warren Close has been one of them, and I've also been helping in the Grange. There's been a brilliant thing being done at Linden Green by a member of the community who has a lot of issues that she has to help with herself. She's got a disabled child and has been doing a lot of bits with him. And they've been working hard to support their community as well. It's been fantastic how Letchworth has come together, how Letchworth's been supporting each other. It has been absolutely brilliant. From the BLM demonstrations in town, all the way through the food, all the different charities working together. It's just, it makes you very proud to live in Letchworth.
Sorry, thank you, Dan. Echo that sentiment, absolutely. Totally agree. Who's next, Hilary?
I think Councillor Holm.
Councillor Holm? Say?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Something completely remote from what else we've been discussing here. It's really for information, for councillors, and perhaps they might want to make sure that interested parties. There's going to be some significant roadworks on the A1M at Corrie's Mill Roundabout very soon. You may or may not be aware of it, but from July the 7th through to August the 12th, significant roadworks in that area could mean the closure of many roads around there and diversions of many roads around there, because it is, to say the least, significant. So if you can avoid that particular area between Tuesday, July the 7th through to Wednesday, the 22nd of July, and Monday, the 10th of August through Wednesday, the 12th of August, you might be to your advantage, because diversions, of course, through Gravely, diversions through Hitchin, diversions through Nebworth, etc., etc. So you have been warned that there could be a bit of a pass around it.
Thank you, Councillor Hone, and thankfully I'm still working at home and will be for a few months more. So
I'll send via officers the email I have, which has all the details on it, so that certainly the electoral councillors will know, and if they choose to pass it on to whoever, whatever. I think because it's so significant, it's such a road which is normally under normal circumstances busy, but even now it's not the it certainly is a busier road, the A1M at Croysmill.
Okay, thank you very much. Who's next on the list, Hilary?
I've got Councillor Allen.
Ben,
you're back. Just wanting to ask Terry, is that converting the A1 over to a smart motorway over this area?
No.
Do we know what it is for, Terry? Is it part of the widening, maybe? Or yeah, no, you just said that. Sorry. Is it?
I will find it and read it out to you if you don't know, but it's just significant roadworks.
All right, okay. Right, who's next?
That's all I have,
Chair. Oh, right, okay. Well, if there's no further any other business, I'll bring the meeting to a close and let you all go and get on with your evening, what's left of it. Can I just, before we do, I want to pass an evening for thanking lots of people tonight, and I want to say a special thank you to Hilary as well, because I'm sure all of us councillors are knowing the brilliant work Hilary's had to be doing to try and get us corralled into some sort of organised group for so many different meetings. And, you know, you've often heard the, you know, it must be like herding frogs or cats or whatever your chosen animal is. And good old Hilary there, she's been done a brilliant job. And of course, with Amelia going, she's had to step in and sort us out as well tonight. I don't know, Hilary, if we're getting some support before the next meeting, but we'll let you advise us when you know what's going on there. But I just want to put on record, Hilary, thanks for your help and support.
Thank you. Can I ask you to extend that thanks to the IT department, without whom none of these meetings would happen? Yeah. We have Mark Robinson in the background, who is doing all of the technical stuff that I wouldn't have a clue about.
Yeah, thank you to the IT guys as well, because it's sometimes easy to forget, and I apologise, because on my screen I can see 9 faces and no one else's without having to scroll across. So there is a blank screen where the IT guy is. So again, thank you to Hilary and all the team, and thank you to the IT team for getting us through this as well. So I think we've got through it relatively painlessly. Mike, you better run off and go and see how Arsenal are getting on.
Or not getting on.
All right, okay then. And the rest of you, go and have some tea and enjoy the rest of the evening. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Councillor Grindle.
Who's Darry?
Yeah. Just quickly, remind the dozens and dozens of people watching us on YouTube that the Letchworth councillors are available to contact on phone councillor surgery on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, good point, Dan. We have got the surgery on Saturday. Absolutely right. And thank you to the councillor who volunteered for that. Again, it's difficult to know, because for the July surgery, we're going to have some talks around how we might create that into a Zoom meeting opportunity for the public to become involved, or maybe by that time there may be the opportunity for socially distanced presence in the town. So but we're certainly, if not, we'll certainly be looking at a Zoom surgery for the next a Zoom meeting for the next surgery. But in the meantime, thank you to those that are going to be on the phone on Saturday, and everyone else. Hopefully we'll bump into each other at some point in the future. As I say, stay safe, take care, and good evening to everyone. Thanks very much.
Good night.
Mark, can you stop the... the video, please. Thank you.
Just ending now.
Okay. Right. Brilliant. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Gary.
Cheers, Hilary. Thank you. Thank you, IT man.
See you, Lee. Be good.
Thank you, Lee.